5 seconds.
Blog
good.
Talk Radio.
Yeah, they're not even playing around on this damn Blog Talk shirt. Check yourself. But grave digging ditches right now for Notre Dame. Good grief.
Yeah. Are you saying you're unprepared?
That's what Kelly said.
He said we didn't see this coming.
We didn't see this coming. Listen, did they play in the exact same stadium they played the national championship game?
Was it down there?
It's the same fucking place, dude.
I've wiped it from my memory. You know the men in black thing? I bought one of those.
Flash.
Yeah, right.
Memory.
I don't even know what you're saying.
Gone. Sometimes the team that makes the most mistakes is the team that wins. Holy shit. Notre Dame 8, Miami 41. Beatdown Central, boys and girls. Indy Fan Radio is live. The One Foot Down Podcast. It's not even really One Foot Down Podcast. This is officially Indy Fan Radio.
This is
a show for fans. We're live. We're drunk. And we're humbled.
Yeah.
We're humbled.
Yeah. I'm not even at rage yet. I know some people are at rage, but I'm not even there yet. Like, this is complete shock. We've mentioned Inception before. Like, the van is still rolling for me, personally. I mean, this is... I'll say this. I didn't know what to expect with this game, but I didn't think. 27-0 at halftime? I mean, jeez.
Dude.
It was just...
That was manslaughter.
It was onslaught. It was relentless. It was all...
And for all the talk about Miami's not real and this and that and yada yada yada, I mean, this was a bloodletting.
That felt real. Everybody that wants to mock the turnover chain, that is exactly what they produced. They produced turnovers. The chain was blinging in the lights. I mean, everything they said they were, they were. Everything, they are who we thought they were. They're who we didn't think they were. I mean, that's what happened. So I think we can pepper in our own comments. You want to get to the people?
In a second, man. Talk for two more seconds.
In a second.
So I can keep this number out
Jeez
here
Louise.
Real quick. The
All
number
right.
is 714-409-0605. Hey, look, man, we're inexperienced at this. We haven't done this in 2 years, but we do have some callers stacking up. Anybody that's listening, we encourage you to call in. The number is 714-409-0605. It's Indy Fan Radio. We are here for you. We are here to take callers of Indy fans on the radio.
Yeah.
Hence the name, Indy Fan.
Hence the name. I got to tell you, I mean, my final opening thing is this wasn't even – I think a lot of people are like, I knew this was coming. I think a lot of people are doing the I told you so thing to
Ooh,
me.
Cousin JJ.
Anybody. To me, this was just like – I hate this analogy. I'm not going to use this analogy because it might be crass for some people.
Just
like Challenger. Dude, there's so much promise.
Are you talking about the space shuttle exploding?
See, I told you
Heartless prick.
I told you I shouldn't have done it. There's so much promise. There's so much mystique. It's all going well, and it immediately goes to this is horrible.
Just to let you know how bad things are tonight, we're drinking Beam.
Jim Beam.
The shittiest of all.
Getting us through it, Jimmy.
The shittiest of
Listen,
all bourbons.
This was like, it was dropping the vase, right? And it's not repairable. I mean, that's how I feel right now. It shattered. Everything that was happening with Notre Dame, I used that word on the last podcast about 2012. It shattered everything that it was. Now, is the whole season a loss? Have they really improved from last year? Of course they have. But that's where I'm at right now. But... Hey, man, let's touch some other folks and see what they think about it. But to me, it was the dream was, look, man, if you're having a nice dream. And I'm just like, I mean, that's what it was. That's exactly what
happened. We've got about an
here.
Hour allotted for some calls here. If you're listening, please call in. The number is 714-409-0605. 714-409-0605. Here's what we're going to do.
Have your replacement coach ready.
We're going to call your area code out. If that's you, then you should be prepared to talk. Hopefully you don't have too much of a delay. Hopefully you can hear us.
Yeah.
We're flying blind here. We're drunk. We're
saying we're drunk.
Well,
like I'm not.
I'm drunk.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. I'm not saying I won't be. I'm just saying I'm not.
I'm just being honest.
The playbook has been, the hand has been tipped.
And we haven't done a Blog Talk Radio show in about 2 years, so we're doing our best here. Hopefully people aren't tweeting saying, I can't hear you. First area code up is area code 419.
419.
I think that's Ohio. Let's go to them.
All right. Good.
All right. Yeah, you there? Hello. 419.
Hello.
Speak. Just say hello.
See, I think people might be so despondent that they can't even speak.
Maybe.
I think people called subconsciously and they can't speak.
They could be just trying
you
to
know?
Listen.
Whatever.
If you're on
Roll
area
down.
Code 419 and you want to say something. And if we hear you, we'll take your call.
Sure. If not, we'll roll on.
All right. That's that. All right. Next. Hey, this is going great.
This is fantastic. Hey, this feels familiar, doesn't it, right?
This is going great.
We just tried to run right, and we were decimated.
Yeah, let's try to go back to McGlinchey and Nelson's side. Area code 931. I have no idea.
931? I feel like
we're
a bingo caller.
931. B42.
931.
Area code 931. Are you there? Yeah,
we
got you, man. Who's this?
Dude. Tightness, it's Kevin, man, formerly Go Irish Glory from down the tunnel. What's up, bro?
Hey, how are you, sir? You doing all right?
Well, as good as could be expected, right? I mean, living, you know?
As good as can be after the Irish get completely emasculated down in South Beach.
Is that where we're at? We've reduced it to the fact that we're actually breathing oxygen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still alive.
I am alive, okay?
You know,
don't ask
I mean,
anything else.
I didn't even watch the second half because, like, I watched the whole first half and I knew it was over. And I know there's a lot of pee, and I normally watch the whole game, but you know, I'm also not a masochist, and you knew it was coming, so I was going to do something better with the rest of my night.
Right.
But,
let me stop you right there. Did you continue to watch television? Did you flip over to like a MASH rerun? I mean, what are we talking about here? Did you go to like one of the movies that's always on TBS? What were you watching? Other football?
Always good to flip over to the Hulu / Netflix streaming. Do a little Law and Order watching. Away
okay,
from sports.
So we
no
call that cleanse palate.
So
you cleanse the palate with Law and Order. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
So why did you not?
Why did
you shut it down? Were you like, I know where this is going. I've seen this before. Why bother? Is that why you thought just shut it down the second half?
No, absolutely. And like, listen, I listen to you your guys' podcast every week, and you know, I've been kind of along with you guys, especially last year. I have not been the biggest Brian Kelly fan for the last couple of years, and been hesitant all year. And I thought, hey, we were getting somewhere, and maybe it changed, maybe things changed, and you know, after what happened tonight, I feel like that idiot who gets that email from the Nigerian prince in Africa saying, please send me some money,
Your great uncle was a millionaire, but unfortunately he died in a Humvee crash, and you're the beneficiary, so good on you.
I mean, we were duped. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. I mean, you guys mentioned it. Like, sure, is this team an improvement from last year? Anything is an improvement from 4-8. I mean, is that the standard we're at now? I mean, sure, it's an improvement. But, I mean, this goes back to it's Brian Kelly 1.0. This is exactly what he's been all his other years here at Notre Dame.
Right.
I don't know what it is with the word hurricane and throwing the football, like whether it's last year in an actual hurricane or playing
when
the Hurricanes. But you get there running the football, playing smash mouth football with your offensive line, and you come out and you throw with a first-year starter in the most hostile environment you've played all year. It makes no sense.
Let's talk a little bit about throwing the football. Do you think that they notably deviated very quickly from the run?
They
Is
wanted,
that fair to
they
say?
Wanted
right
nothing,
off the bat,
they wanted
nothing
to
do
with
it.
Nothing
runs.
To do with the run. The very first series, 6 passes, 3 runs, and a punt. They wanted nothing to do with it,
which is
it
mind-blowing.
Was terrible, and he even missed the long pass, which whatever. The guy's open, you should have hit him. But it's like that play almost ruined the whole night because then the coaches were like, "Oh, dude, the guy got open. We're gonna hit some pass plays. Oh, it'll be fine.
So let me Let me ask you this because I saw this Twitter on this comment on Twitter. Let me rephrase. I saw this. My brother's rolling his eyes. I saw this comment on Twitter. Somebody had said, "Would the game have been dramatically different if Notre Dame connected on that first touchdown pass, that deep bomb to ESB?" I mean, do you think that ultimately puts pressure on Miami, or is like 41-8?
I don't know. I mean, you could maybe say that, and who knows if they scored first, but if they had kept doing the game plan that they ended up doing, I don't think that one score was going to change the offensive line getting nothing done. I don't think that was going to change Wimbush throwing two interceptions and missing wide open guys. I mean, I don't think that was going to change them calling running plays.
Yeah. I think you made a very astute point, which is if that pass connects, all of a sudden we're all feeding the belief that we're going to win this game by throwing the ball all over the field. And I have to be honest, if it's Brandon Wimbush back there, I'm not seeing it. That was probably the best pass that he threw, you know. And I think that it was a catchable. It was a catchable ball. That's debatable, but it's kind of moot at this point. But I'm not entirely sure that, you know, that would have done a whole heck of a lot for the belief of the team if they had actually gotten on the board that early in the game. Don't get me wrong, they would have felt like they had a chance. When you're down 27-0 at halftime, that's got to be a hell of a speech in the locker room. But I think you have it really, really nailed on that one, which is that would have reinforced the fact that we need to deviate from what's got us here, which is what we talked about week after week after week, which is if Notre Dame does that, they're in big trouble. And that's exactly what they did. And it's just, it's unbelievable that Kelly pulled that off, you know?
You just look at the NC State game. I mean, like, started off not running the ball great. Like, they had a couple of series or two that didn't go off great at the start, but they stopped the running game, and they ended up – the whole style of play is wear down and dominate. They started passing right away and never even got into that. They didn't even try. Like, it's okay if it doesn't work the first drive or two. You keep pushing. You know it's going to work. But apparently not. I mean, I don't I mean, like you said, I'm not even mad at this point. I mean, it was obviously frustrating to watch, and my wife was sitting here, and she was, like, concerned I was going to throw something, and, you know, been watching me watch Notre Dame football for years now and understands how it is. But I'm at the point where it's almost – I've become numb to things that Brian Kelly does in terms of good games like this on the road.
Well,
and I was so nervous going into this game. I was so worried because, I mean, I thought the team was going to be really well. I thought the running game was going to transfer well for being on the road. I thought they were going to have a good game plan, but in the back of my mind, I'm like – Brian Kelly on big games on the road at Notre Dame have not gone well. And when they lose bad. And it's the Notre Dame way to somehow find a way to not only lose a big game on the road, but to just totally implode in the most spectacular fashion.
Right. Well, let's have this as a parting shot here. I mean, you know, you talk about turning the game off, and to me that would suggest that you knew you had been duped, right? So if you had to sum it up as one word, was Notre Dame exposed? Were you duped? I mean, was this a con? Like, what's the one line about what happened in this game? Was it just a bad game and the team is still legit and don't worry? Or were you duped? Or, like, how do you frame it all up in kind of one sentence?
I say duped in terms of the coach, like the coaching. Like, I mean, I know he said, I kind of looked at what he said or whatever first on Twitter for what he said in postgame. Oh, we have to do better coaching. Like, you weren't prepared. Like, I don't understand how, you know, 10th game of the season, you've got a specific formula of what got you to where you are, biggest game of the year, and you throw it out in the first series. Like, it makes no sense to me. So, I mean, the team's played pretty well. We beat some decent teams at home. I mean, NC State's turned out to be okay. I mean, USC is not a bad team, but, you know, Michigan State obviously got blown up today, so that looks great too. I mean, they're, you know, however the schedule plays out toward the end of the year when how many ranked teams. But, again, we've talked about this, the big, big games, those big marquee primetime games that we look for. Georgia didn't get it done. Bad game plan. Tonight didn't get it done. Bad game plan. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm concerned about the rest of the year. I mean, maybe not Navy. Who knows? Navy can always do whatever. But hopefully they'll bounce back and do that. But Stanford on the road? I don't trust this team on the road against a team that's anything close to halfway decent. I mean, they just beat Washington.
Nor should you
this
point.
Game takes your confidence. That's what it is, man. Hey, we're going to keep rolling. Thank you very much for the call. You're first in. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot for listening.
Yeah, no problem.
Stick with us. We'll be here. I can't guarantee we'll have a great game plan, but we will be here. We'll show up at least.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we may be wrong at times, and we're never going to lie to you. I mean, we're always going to tell you what we think. That's what Indie Fan Radio is. We encourage anybody that's listening to please call in. The call-in number is 714-409-0605, 714-409-0605. This is Indie Fan Radio on One Foot Down, the One Foot Down podcast, part of the SB Nation family of blogs.
Family of blogs. All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, he's gone. All right. Next up, area code 931. Area code 931. You ready? Let's roll. Hello. 931.
Is that him? I thought that was him. Sorry.
No.
Wait, is that me again? Did you get me again?
Oh, it is.
I thought that was him. Damn. No, you're done.
Damn it, Jim. I'm a podcaster, not a mechanic.
Yeah, right.
Fucking rookie. Oh, area code
gosh.
509.
Get your life 509.
Niner. Let's go.
Gentlemen, pleasure to speak
Gentlemen.
With you.
Gentlemen, let's go.
Thank you.
Who's this?
Hey, guys. This is Joe. I'm from
What's
Greenwood,
up?
Indiana.
What's up,
alumni. Hey, how's it going? Pleasure to talk to you. I found you guys last season.
We bow down for the alums?
Yeah.
No, not quite. Uh-oh. Not quite. My true 509, that's Eastern Washington. I actually went to Gonzaga University, but yeah, did grad school at Notre Dame fam my whole life. But anyway, through the madness of last season, found you guys and shared pretty much 95% of your sentiments. That 5% delta is where you
Cousin
guys go with bourbon. I go with scotch.
Oh, scotch
dude.
Over bourbon.
Listen,
right,
we
listen.
Can, we're still in the same family
hey,
here.
If it's brown, we're fam here.
I thought I was really scared. I thought you were going to be like, the only thing is, I really think we should be throwing more.
No, I thought I was going to say, JJ is a fucking dick.
Yeah, that 5% is cousin JJ. All right, so, okay, so let's start you off with the same question we ended with Kevin here. Like, what, I mean, just in a sentence, that's not the only thing you get to say, but like in a sentence, what did this feel like when you watched this happening? Was this just like watching the car wreck? I was in shock. Were you like, I knew this was going to happen? How did you feel going in, and what was it just kind of in a nutshell for you?
Absolutely. When the game started, my wife, you know, she's dealt with me the last couple seasons.
These poor
especially
wives.
Last year.
Wrapped wives. They're out there waiting for a lamp
bless.
To fly their head. Bless their their heart.
I knew I had to tone it down when I threw my hat across the room one year, and the cat, like, I think, was injured or something. But anyway, I turned to my wife at the beginning of the game. I'm like, you know, the last time we played in the stadium was the 2013 shenanigans.
Oh,
and she just
yeah.
said, oh, dear God. And that kind of sums it up for me, because I'm like, all right, let's see. You know, they got this turnover chain. You know, the crowd came ready. The team came ready. I mean, hats off to Miami. They came to play. And I'm like, well, let's see if Notre Dame can stick to their running game, stick to the game plan. And if the game plan initially falls, can they evolve? Can they change? And can Brian Kelly and Notre Dame win a game of consequence? This is a game of consequence. Playoff on the line. You've got.
Did we lose him?
No, we might have.
He gone.
Yeah, sorry. You know, I'm interested. I wanted to ask him his perspective.
Please call back.
We call back. I really want to ask the alum. I mean, he talked about the crowd being ready. And, you know, obviously I've banged this drum many, many times. Have you ever, Notre Dame Stadium has never
no,
been like
look,
that.
Hey, look,
people got tall boys at Coors Light. I saw the beers in the crowd. People were insane.
Think about the Notre Dame Georgia game and think about what lack of home field advantage there was.
Yeah.
And we kind of excuse those season ticket holders for saying, hey, you're going to make $3,000 on selling a ticket. We don't fault you,
right?
We don't. But then you look at Hard Rock Stadium, which I was so tempted. I was just waiting for the opportunity to tweet out something clever like, this is Soft Rock Stadium.
Yeah, or
it
everybody
wasn't.
Left at halftime.
It wasn't. That place was rocking
Dude,
from
was,
the get-go.
They were up 30-plus. It was deep in the second half. Miami got yet another turnover, and the crowd went in. They went crazy, and it was so deep into a 30-point margin. I mean, they stayed the whole time. It didn't look like anybody left. They were turned up the whole time. I couldn't believe it.
The place was turned.
I mean, so jealous. I was just so jealous of the environment, which we've harped on many, many times. But go ahead. Let's go. Who are you going
next,
here?
Next up, area code 262.
262.
262.
All right. I don't know any of these. We used to know these.
I think I know who this is.
All right.
Begins with an R and ends with an U. 262. Let's go.
Is that true?
Wrong. I'm his brother.
No, that's Ruth's brother. All right. Fair enough.
Close enough, though. I'm calling here from Canada. This is just the second game this season that I've been able to watch from beginning to end, and I'm kind of regretting it.
Yeah.
Are you heartbroken that Chase Claypool did not get many touches in this game?
Nothing went right. I mean,
first of all, if you're calling Canada, are we paying for this? Like, is this like a
$14? Yeah, I hope that's okay.
What's the conversion rate? Because I just spent $40 to get this damn Blog Talk Radio live function. You know,
okay,
I've only been paid $50 to do this fucking show the entire year, so I'm already $10.
All right. So Rue number two, Patty here. Like, so you're dipping in and out. You've watched two games, so you have kind of like
that's right. Yeah.
You haven't been strung along like the rest of us, right? The rest of us we've been getting the steady drip of Notre Dame has been running the ball all year, right? We're all walking around with the IV all year long. We're really being, you know, brought, you know, like we're addicted, right, to what's happening. So as somebody who's just kind of dipping in and out, you're probably watching games a little bit more objectively to be, you know, maybe that's a fair statement. I mean, how shocked were you by the result just coming in saying, hey, what's the deal? I'm looking at the numbers. Notre Dame's 8-1. This is supposed to be the big game. It's appointment television for me. You know, you got to read it in subtitles because you're in Canada. But even so, like, what did you think when you saw this? I mean, was it pure shock to you or what?
It was pretty shocking. And I thought the last time I actually caught Notre Dame on TV at all was the second half of the USC game. And this was not the same team. It didn't resemble that team in any way. I mean, I remember the first play I saw of that USC game was that 70, 75-yard touchdown run up the middle to Josh Adams. And I saw the hole on that play, and I'm like, I couldn't have gone 70, but I could have gotten a first down on that play. And there wasn't a hole all night tonight. The offensive line was manhandled the way USC's defensive line had been in that game. And I know you guys I know, Titanus, you were talking about USC's front seven isn't that good and everything like that, but –
yeah.
You know, how great is Miami's to just dominate us the way they did?
Well, look, I like the way you said that. I mean, you said this is not the same team, and you're talking about Notre Dame. I think when USC came in,
everybody said,
okay, maybe USC is not the USC of yesteryear, and we're willing to deal with that. But I'm not of the belief that USC and Miami are so far apart that we saw the same Notre Dame team in the two games. This is not what Notre Dame – this is not the product they've put on the field this year. Look, Miami's really good. Stadium was rocking. Miami has the attitude that Notre Dame could only hope to duplicate.
Turn of a chain.
When you just look at like raw talent, coaching, all these things that Cousin JJ always said, there's not enough disparity between like Miami USC to say that Notre Dame was the same team. The reality is they didn't show up. I mean, and it was just really disheartening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To see that, you know, and the fact that you took in two games and you saw the second half of USC and however much percentage of this game you saw, I mean, talk about night and day, right? Like, how are you doing with the yin yang of those two games? I mean, it's just who knows what to believe in, which is, I think, where we all are right now, you know?
Yeah, it's just, you know, and another thing that kind of stuck out to me was the defense really got worn down in the second half, and I don't think we've seen that all year from what I've caught anyways. It's always been – you guys have talked about time of possession. Even if Notre Dame isn't controlling that, they're – you know, the runs are not compiling against them. They're not getting beaten down. That looked like it was happening here. I thought the defense was okay in the first half, not great. not terrible. They were playing on a short field all the time. But the second half, Miami was running on them the way Josh Adams usually runs on people. That was a little disheartening.
Yeah, with their quarterback. Hey, if you don't mind, I'm going to throw this question to my brother here. You know, if you think about being duped by Notre Dame, what does that really mean? What that means to me is Brian Kelly reverts to the past from this wonderful rushing thing.
Mm-hmm,
but I got
mm-hmm.
on it. The defense was getting run over. And so I'm going to throw it to my brother here real quickly. Like, Wes, do you agree that, like, the defense didn't show up just as much as the offense didn't show up? I mean, the quarterback was – he was all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look.
It was really interesting to watch
look,
that
I mean,
happen.
Anybody that was on Twitter probably saw Mike Elko's pregame speech, which was had some clandestine recording. I'm not exactly sure how that all went down. But on Twitter, there was a recording of Elko basically talking to the defense, which quite frankly said, these fucking dudes are talking about turnover chains. We're talking about rings. And he used some expletives, which for me as a coach of a third and fourth grade team, I would love to be able to use the same language that he used with Notre Dame again, you know, with the kids. But I clearly could not do that. That being said, I mean, I thought Notre Dame defense looked gassed. I thought they looked gassed from the very beginning. I thought they looked outmatched. I thought they were sending guys and leaving gaps that Miami was clearly exploiting. Everybody that's ever said on Twitter, give Elko every dollar that he wants, pay him whatever he wants. I mean, look, I think he's a competent, coherent. He's a vast departure from Brian Van Gorder. I mean, this guy can put a defense together at the same time. They did not look good from the very beginning. And we were so vulnerable. I mean, God, Miami went like screen, draw, draw, right up the field. They threw another quarterback draw in. I mean, it was so it became predictable at some point. These QBs are just like fake pass, run straight up the middle for 9 yards over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It was so irritating to me.
Yeah.
I don't think that you can just chalk it up to Notre Dame coming out flat, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to give absolute props to Miami. They came out and they exploited every single weakness that
Everything.
Notre Dame had,
yeah.
both on offense and defense. Notre Dame,
they've
been soft in the middle all year. They've been weak against the pass all year. And Miami came out and just attacked both of those two things right from the get-go. And it was apparent and it was obvious from play one.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. It was pretty tactical. I mean, that's what it was.
Listen, this was a mechanical dismantling of Notre Dame's offense, of Notre Dame, period.
Yeah, the weakness. All right, well, Patty, we're going to move on here. You got any parting shots? Are you going to watch the last two, or are you like two games is enough for you?
Well, I mean, this was pretty depressing. I will say I have watched more than two. It's just two from beginning to end.
I'm thinking
maybe I'll just tune in for the highlights the rest of the year. I don't know.
I'm not sure that's
if
a good idea.
Any.
Right. I think if you watch Navy, it's going to be kind of like putting some, you know, soothing balm on this wound. But Stanford, I don't know. And maybe wait for the highlights. Hey, man, we appreciate the call.
I don't like Stanford on the road.
I'm not agreeing with you there. Thanks, man.
All right, y'all. This is Indy Fan Radio.
International Indy Fan Radio.
This is International Indy. We have taken callers from
that
overseas.
Putrid performance spans borders is what happened.
We've
right
taken
there, right?
Indy Fan Radio on
Notre Dame is dead at the boat.
On Blog Talk Radio. Who would you rather cheer for, Miami or ISIS?
Oh, my gosh. You know.
This is ND Fan Radio and One Foot Down, the One Foot Down podcast. We appreciate everybody who is listening. We encourage you to call in. The number is 714-409-0605. I'll say it slower. 714-409-0605.
Why don't you get somebody from our great state capital?
Where's that?
317.
317. Let's go to 317.
A little Naptown, baby.
Naptown. How's it going? You're on
317. Hey, how are you?
Cheer for Old Notre Dame.
Yes.
All right, what's up, man?
Good to see y'all get on.
Yeah, listen, all the fight songs in the world aren't going to bring me out of this funk I'm in tonight, man. So what do you got?
I think there was a major beatdown. I think very disappointing game. I don't know how we're going to come back from this, though. I mean, we got Navy next week, and we got Stanford. You know, not sure how it's all going to go. I mean, like, I really thought that we were a better team than Miami. I read Miami boards all week, and they really, like, were saying, like, you know, we're not fast. You know, Josh Adams not fast. Our defense sucks. We played a weak schedule. I thought we could do it, but, I mean, they totally exposed us.
Well, listen, let me ask you this. Out of all the stuff you read, we're not fast. It looked true tonight. Josh Adams is not fast. It looked true tonight. I mean, I don't want to say – I don't believe that our schedule sucks because I think the teams that we played are decent. But, I mean, how much – do you think that they were wrong on the Miami message boards?
Well, going into it, you know, they said we played a weak schedule. We didn't play anyone good. But, you know, based on the strength of schedule, it looked like we did, you know. But we were exposed. You know, I really was not expecting us to come out and not run power football, you know. We all know that they had speed. And for us to beat them, we needed to run it down their throat. And did we do that? No.
We didn't even try. We didn't even try.
One play when everybody was amped up, it was like the first play of the game, and all of a sudden they're throwing. And then, I mean, as soon as they get the ball back in like the second series, they're throwing like screens and down the line, and the run game had no creativity. I mean, look, Josh Adams has produced an amazing clip this year, 33 trucking. I get it, but the reality is he doesn't pop into the hole. That's the only knock you can make on this guy. He doesn't hit the hole fast. And they took so long to put another running back in this game. I mean, just to try something different. I was blown away that
They switched quarterbacks faster than
before they got one carry for another running back. I couldn't believe it. Jones Jr., Dexter Williams, give me somebody. I mean, Adams just didn't have it tonight. I hate to say that because of what he's meant to this team. But at some point, you just got to look at what's happening on the field tonight. Adams did not have it. And it's not. It doesn't matter. It's not. It doesn't mean he's a bad running back. We don't got to throw him to the, you know, to the curb. Nothing like that.
We don't need to turn all our 33 trucking hats in for refunds.
Keep the hat. I'm just saying he wasn't the guy tonight. Keep the hat, right?
Let's be honest, guys. So they weren't running power. They were running zone read. They were trying to run around the corners.
What they
need to do is like pound them down the throat. They didn't even try it.
Yeah, you're right.
They were running scared.
Up to the edge, absolutely.
This game was so similar to the Georgia game plan, except for they didn't execute, you know, and they didn't play defense. So the score that Miami had was dramatically greater than what Georgia had against Notre Dame, but it's the passing and the abandoning of the run or just the lack of faith in it. I mean, they just
didn't. It wasn't even abandoning. They never even, like, really committed to it.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
You could
tell from the very get-go, they did not believe that they could run the ball, and they just didn't try to do it.
And, all right, so from Mike Frank's podcast, Irish Sports Daily, he said, run the fucking ball down their throat. Straight down their throat over and over and over. They didn't even try it. They didn't even give it a go. They didn't even give it a go. That's how you beat speed, is putting it down their throat.
Well,
they didn't do it.
You know, no, I completely agree. And look, when you run the football to the level of commitment that Notre Dame has done this year, it's going to happen that there's going to be some times where you get stuffed. And that doesn't mean that you just stop everything and say, oh, that's some sort of, you know, that's a commentary on our entire team or our entire ability to run the football. It doesn't mean that at all. Every once in a while, you're going to get stuffed. There's no problem there. But to me, it was so evident. When you look at Miami, they're doing the turnover chain thing, right? Everybody's kind of gotten sick of that because we've seen it so much. But look how it bared out. I mean, they got the football based on interception, pick six, and a strip sack of the quarterback. It was never because of the run game. I mean, Miami produced all these turnovers when Notre Dame was trying to do the exact thing that did not get them to where they were. I mean, I think that's the number one
frustration. Did you notice that Brian Kelly had that Bose headset on the entire night? And for the first, six games of the season, he did not have it on?
Yeah.
He seems to have had an influence on his play calling. And we all know, going into the game, what needed to be done. Run the frickin' ball down their throat. He did the exact opposite of that. We got smoked.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have been questioning, he's more on the headset, and it just, again, I mean, the numbers have bared out. I understand they haven't played Miami just yet, but when Notre Dame is racking up hundreds and hundreds of yards rushing this year, to see them deviate from that, or, as you say, and I don't think you're wrong, they didn't even give it a shot. And when they did, it was cutesy running to the edge. Like, you're going to beat Miami. This is Miami. You think you're going to beat them on the edge with speed? Why not use the big corn-fed boys in the middle and run some power? I completely agree.
How do you beat speed? You beat speed, you negate speed by running them up the middle, power runs between the tackles. Yep. You got a big 6'2" running back that has the speed and the power to break some tackles. But you don't try that at all.
The good news is, 1 week from now, we're all going to be able to watch correct running form when the Notre Dame plays Navy.
Oh, Navy. It's all too late. We're out of the playoffs.
All right, man. I mean, we appreciate it all. Thanks, dude. We're going to move on. Thanks, man.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Indy Fan Radio on One Foot Down, the One Foot Down podcast, part of the SB Nation family of blogs. So we appreciate everybody who's checking out the post-game show. We've not done one in 2 years.
Yeah.
The last one I remember is Notre Dame, Florida State. We were sitting on the other side of the basement here. I remember it vividly. It was not a good feeling, and nor is tonight. Notre Dame.
I'm sure we trudged through like Northwestern after that and all these other games, right?
Notre Dame loses 41-8.
Well, how many carries and passes did they actually have? I don't know if you can bring that up. Why don't you get somebody else on the phone, if you don't mind? Could you bring that up?
I got it right here.
Perfect.
36 runs, 27 passes.
That doesn't even tell the story correctly. I mean, I get it. Josh Adams wasn't doing it. He got 16 carries. Ironically, that's probably pretty similar to what he got in some of his huge games, because we noted last week that was the first game he got over 20. But Jones Jr., 2 carries. I mean, McIntosh, 1. Dexter, 3. These guys have shown – Dexter had a couple 10-yard runs.
Yeah, he's a little gimpy, but still Dexter Williams averaged over 7 yards a carry. I mean, gimpy.
At one point, I just thought, let's just cycle these guys in and just give it to the hot hand.
Oh, by the way, Homer, whose cousin JJ is making fun of, knocks down 150 yards with a long of 40. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, good
night. Listen, Notre Dame was not prepared. They were not ready to go. The stadium was rocking. Elko gave a sweet little speech, but at the end of the day, when the opening kickoff happened, Hard Rock Stadium was hype. It was rocking, and Notre Dame, they did not look like they were locked in. They just didn't.
We had this exact same show when Notre Dame played Clemson. We talked about how Clemson was rocking. They ran down the hill. It was the exact same thing. Now, the thing is, Notre Dame actually snapped back to reality in the Clemson game and made it respectable. Notre Dame never showed up.
This went like
never.
3 and out, punt, get the ball back, almost picked, have one run, next play, actually picked. If you're like, then you come back in, the announcer's like, surely they're not going to throw again. Otherwise, he's going to get picked. He throws a fucking pick.
I mean, they're calling it.
It was vanilla. It was predictable.
It was
grotesque. This was a sad game. And if you're a Notre Dame fan, you can't be pleased with this. And if you're a Brian Kelly hater, you're probably elated right now, because you feel like you're vindicated. If cousin JJ was here, he'd be ecstatic, right? Yeah. I mean, and that's not because Cousin JJ hates Notre Dame. He loves Notre Dame. But he is not a Brian Kelly fan, and if you're not a Brian Kelly fan, you feel vindicated after this game. True or false?
No, absolutely true. And what did I say last week? If Notre Dame loses, it's because they will deviate from the MO. I told you.
And not to mention, unless they go on some turnover spree, they turn the ball over four times. They had four turnovers, and Miami's got 24 points off turnovers.
Yeah, unlike anything you've seen. I said
it's
it.
Not.
If Notre Dame commits to the run as they have, I said there's no way they lose like this, and it's true.
Let's take another caller.
Let's do it.
Do you want to go with this 509 here?
Sure, 509.
All right, area code 509-er. Let's go. You there?
Hey, guys, this is Joe again.
What's up, Joe?
Yeah, I think I got disconnected last time. I hate my phone.
All right.
Oh, no problem, man. Well, you got a final parting shot for us or what?
Man, I just wanted to say that just as you said, the team never showed up, and I'm glad you brought up the Clemson game because it was very reminiscent of that. The crowd and the stadium just rocking, and the team is just they look like they were walking around afraid or scared or I don't know what, or like, oh shoot, did we leave my mouthpiece on the bus? I mean, what's going on? I mean, it's kind of like when Everett Golson would come to the sideline, he'd have this kind of like
deer
in
the headlights.
Shell shock.
There,
absolutely.
He's got the deer in the
headlights look.
Listen, I was at a friend's house for the first half of this game, and the cell connection was bad. And I was so frustrated because I was looking for a GIF of deer in headlights, and that was the only way I could sum up my emotion of the game. And I just wanted to tweet a picture of a deer in headlights, and I couldn't find it on my phone. And that was the most frustrating thing to me because I was like, that's exactly what they look like. I mean, to see offense, defense, everybody just, late to where they needed to be. You got guys in pass coverage that are absolutely late. The linemen had no push. Josh Adams looked like he was running through sludge. I mean, you name it, top down. Wimbush, don't even get me started. I mean, and then again, I mean, how frustrating is it to watch Alize Mack? Okay, great, dude. This is your first catch since August. You know what I mean? Like, get hyped, dude. It's not a knock on him. He doesn't get thrown to a lot, but it's like, why even celebrate when you catch the touchdown to bring it within, 30? It was just every single person looked like they were jet lagged. I mean, everybody. It was crazy. So.
Yeah, the only person who at one point did not look like they had the deer in the headlights was Ian Book when he came in. However, I have a disagreement, fundamental issue with him coming in at that point. Yeah, we had turned the ball over. Wimbush wasn't getting it done. But I started thinking more about it, and it was at halftime I realized, crap, this is a terrible decision put Ian Book in. I really hope we put Wimbush in, and for two reasons. The main reason is Wimbush is more of a threat with his feet when the pass isn't open. Not that I'm reverting to the pass because I don't think that. I think we'd use more designed runs, etc. But to get prepared or geared up, hyped up, amped up with my own, turnover chain here at home before the game. I watched the 30 for 30 Catholics versus convicts thing again, and the one thing that stuck out is during that game in the 88 season is when Miami did a fake punt and it was failed, and Lou Holtz in the commentary, he made the notion that they had flinched. They weren't doing the goofy trickster stuff. And it's like, okay, I understand that maybe you need to pull Wimbush aside and have Coach Reese maybe talk to him about his footwork or what have you. But is this something where we're flinching?
Look, I think you bring up an excellent point. And I don't know if my brother watched any of the press conference, but Kelly made a comment to the effect of Brandon Wimbush is a quarterback that's quote unquote still developing. In the post-game show, something to that effect about how he was still working on his development. This is a tough topic. I mean, to be honest, they're 9 games in. The guys played 9 American college football games. How much development should really be remaining after that? Things move fast in college football. I understand as a first-year guy in terms of starting and playing, but you only, when you have a 4-year shelf life, 25% of your career has already kind of happened, if you will. I mean, there's no excuse to say the guy that we put out there is still developing. I mean, there's a way to say he could always improve. Yeah, we could all always improve. But the way Kelly termed that, it just really rubbed me the wrong way. You're telling me we still have a developmental guy out there. And I disagree when you talk about the timing of benching him. The pass that he threw at right before he got benched was directly to Miami. He had no touch on short passes. He was bulleting the ball through people's hands.
Even when they ran the screen, I said, we're running five-yard screen passes. Guys throwing them in the dirt.
His throws were horrible.
It's fucking over.
He was turning. It wasn't just so much that he wasn't he was unproductive.
He
deserved to be benched at
that
moment.
He could potentially have a broken left hand. We don't even know.
No, that's true.
But nevertheless, I mean, it was abysmal.
It wasn't just the fact that he was ineffective. He was a liability because he was producing points for Miami. He deserved to be benched at that point.
He was yielding more points for the other team than he was for Notre Dame.
He totally
and
was.
That's a fact. All right, let's take another caller. Area code 516. If you're on 516, let's go. Hello, Andy Fanner. Hey, how's it going?
Good. You know,
Who's this?
Under the circumstances.
Here's your chance to emote.
What's up?
Listen, we've boiled it all down to, like, you got food in the cupboard, right? Like, you're like, I'm not dead. I mean, you know, I'm still alive. But what do you think? Is it that bad? Is it, like, jump off a cliff time? Or are you like, hey, this compared to last year? You know, I mean, I'm curious on how people are talking about. Because if you listen to our podcast for any period of time, we were on the train. I think we were all kind of orienting ourselves toward, hey, this could be the time. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like we were Fire Brian Kelly. A year ago, we were Fire Brian Kelly.
1 week ago, our absent co-host, Cousin JJ here, said playoff or bust. So how do you chalk this up? Are you like, you know, what's the one? I want everybody's like one sentence of where they stand before they go. So where are you at?
I think duped was a good way to describe it when you were describing this feeling dupes. Yeah.
That's what
you know,
everybody seems.
I started thinking back to the first half of that BC game where they put up 14 in the first half and they threw it seemingly, you know, 30 times in that first half. I'm sure it wasn't quite that much, but seemingly it was like 30 times. It was, you know, classic Brian Kelly offense, not really working, not doing anything. And then the second half, when he kind of realized he didn't have a passer, he started running the ball more, and that's when they started scoring. And then they go on, you know, streak, winning games, running the football. And then you see against USC and NC State, the pass starting to be much more effective, you know, just in opportunities that are created by the run. Then last week against Wake Forest, kind of reverts again back to classic Brian Kelly, throwing the ball way too much. And then I think we saw that again tonight, like especially on the very first drive of the game, you get the ball at the 35-yard line. Down on the 35. And the first pass, good play call. Unfortunately, you know, Wimbush overthrows them. And then they run two more passes, and they end up having a punt from the opposing 35-yard line. You know, just run the ball. Run the ball. Maybe you get an opportunity to kick a field goal or four down territory. You know, instead you're punting from the 35.
Yeah. When you talk about being duped, do you feel like Kelly has – we mentioned this last week. Do you feel like Kelly was secretly harboring – a deep, dark desire to throw the ball, and he was just waiting for his moment, and then he thought, hey, I'll just mix it up? Or do you think this was panic? Was this panic that Kelly
think,
was... I don't believe that this got us here, or what?
I think he saw Wimbush developing as a passer, and he was like, okay, now I could start throwing it more. You know, I think that was kind of his desire. But I also, you know, I think combination of the two, though, because there had to have been some panic in there, because... You know, what got them there? Run the ball up the middle. How many times did they run the ball up the middle the entire game? Five, maybe?
If I may. There's a reality that at some point, I mean, listen, I am Irish Titanist. I am hashtag RTDB. I am one of the hugest proponents of running the ball. But there's a point in time when you're down 27 34, whatever the hell it is, nothing. You know, you're like, fuck it, man.
You have to throw.
You got to throw it.
No, absolutely. At that point,
abandon all hope, ye RTD beers. I get that. I totally get that. But I'm with you, man. It's like, you know, the what got us here was non-existent tonight. It didn't even exist. It was almost an afterthought. There's a Heisman Trophy candidate. There's a guy that Notre Dame is making shitloads of money on with their 33 trucking campaign and selling hats and all this goofy shit. And that you wouldn't have even known it watching the game tonight.
Yeah, and you know you've seen McGlinchey struggle a lot with speed off the edge. So why are you running it off the edge to a fast defense? You know, run it up the middle. You know, it felt like every time they're running the ball, they're running off the edge, which they tried to do against Georgia to zero success.
Georgia, you nailed it. It's exactly what they fucking did against Georgia.
I think another way to say that would be this felt like Notre Dame. To be fair, I feel like Notre Dame showed up, and at least at the very, very beginning, they said, okay, we'll try to run. But it feels like Notre Dame
was a half-hearted attempt. That was half-assed.
Not only that, but it looks like they didn't watch Miami film at all. Like, Notre Dame didn't say, because so-and-so, Quarterman, is so fast, like, let's not go that way, right? Like, it's like none of Notre Dame – it's like they scouted Miami in the blind. It's like they never even saw him or knew. And the same thing with Georgia. Like, how are you surprised that somebody from the ACC touting all this speed has a fast edge rusher? Why is that such a shock to you? And you know what? When you look at this game, there were so many turnovers that could have been. There were so many times that Wimbush
There were so many turnovers that were, for sure.
But there were a couple also where Wimbush was saved by a guardian angel because somebody was coming hot off the edge. And it was like this could have been – and, you know, and to the line's credit, they saved it. They saved him from like death. But you know what? There were many plays in this game that could have been really like it could have been way worse. And it just felt like Notre Dame didn't have anything ready for Miami. Not like forget
it
the fact
like
they weren't
they
ready.
Almost played right into their strengths.
Absolutely.
Miami's known for having
most,
a great secondary and a lot of speed off the edge.
Is it fair to say that Notre Dame was outcoached tonight?
Oh geez, give me a break. This is like Miami. Their playbook. This is like Miami had a guy in Notre Dame's meetings.
They may have with the scouting they did on Elko's pregame speech. They might have had cameras on them the whole time.
Absolutely, I'm ready to say that Miami had an inside man on Notre Dame's meetings this week. I mean, that was the only explanation. The way that their quarterback ran, the way they found things, that's the only explanation I have for Notre Dame breaking down on offense and defense. It'd be one thing if Brian Kelly reverted and we said, we've seen this before, but at least the defense held and made it respectable, right? That's honestly what I thought would have happened.
And
everything fell apart.
Listen, and that's the thing. We'll go back to the caller here and we'll let him respond. It wasn't just that that the offense appeared to have reverted to Brian Kelly 1.0 because it looked very Brian Kelly 1.0-ish on offense. But the reality is the defense, for half the game at least, looked like BVG. This looked like BVG shit, and which is extremely frightening.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, you go back to Miami's very first offensive play. It was missed tackle for an extra 15 yards after where he caught the football, but luckily he stepped out of bounds. They're missing tackles all night long. Probably five or six successful quarterback draws before they finally put a spy in against them.
He was cutting them up, dude. He was cutting them up. And you know what? And here's the frustrating thing. Miami went to what I would call a fifth-grade football offense. As soon as they got that play where he was cutting them up, they ran that QB draw time and time and time again.
At least five times.
Touchdowns on the play. I mean, it was just like, we're going to do this play until you stop us. And Notre Dame couldn't even stop it. It wasn't so much tackling. It was just the fact that the Miami guys were in places where Notre Dame couldn't even get to them. You know, I don't feel like Notre Dame got torched in the air here, but it was just – it was – I don't know. It was certainly frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, put a spy on the guy. You know, how many times do you need to see it before you put a spy on him?
Yeah.
You know, you need to let it get to 27-0, and then, all right, now we'll have somebody spy on him.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, man. You had some great points. We definitely appreciate it. Hopefully you keep listening. You know, look, just because we're out of the playoff doesn't mean we're not going to podcast. So stick with us. We appreciate it.
We'll be around. We'll still be around.
It might mean that. I don't...
Hey, listen, this is Indy Fan Radio on One Foot Down, the One Foot Down podcast, part of the SB Nation family of blogs. We've not done a live show in close to 2 years. We appreciate everybody who's listening live. We appreciate every caller. If you'd like to call in and get your opinion heard, we welcome that. The number is 714-409-0605, 714-409-0605. Got about a half hour left here, 35 minutes. We're going to keep taking callers all the way up until the final whistle. We will compete until the end. Unlike the Fighting Irish, who lost 41-8. It was a bloodletting. It was fucking massacre.
Did you, like, when you got to halftime?
No.
I knew I was going to watch because we had to do the show, but I had a thought, look, I have to go watch, like, a loved one take their final breath. I mean, that's how I felt.
Listen, I mean, I'd go visit grandma's grave, throw some flowers down. Come back.
Let's go to the caller because I'm gonna ask it a different way.
Who
go
you
ahead.
Want? You want? I got 832 or 330. You pick.
330. I like that.
I believe 330 is Columbus, Ohio. I could be wrong. 330. You ready?
What's up, guys? I'm here.
Who's this?
This is Tim from Northeast Ohio. You know, I love the podcast, and I agree with about 95% of what you guys say, but 5%.
Are you a Scotch drinker?
No. No, but the 5% is the running game, and I think our running game is vastly overrated because the teams we run against, the defense usually stinks. You know, we played three good defenses, Georgia, Michigan State, and today against Miami, and we couldn't do anything. You know, there was a comment on Twitter or in the post game or something, or the quote of Mark Rick. He said that he could hear the chatter in his headphones that the defense knew what our offense was going to do. And we're running that slow read option against a fast defense, and the guy we're reading is making the tackle.
Yeah,
you
know,
it was like
you need to go pistol, you need to go something a quick hitter, you need something other than a delayed handoff, which Miami was shooting a gap, and they already have a guy there tackling.
To me, thank you, Tim, very much for bringing this topic. To me, this is one of the most interesting aspects of what has happened to Notre Dame this year, and I particularly highlight a team that you did not mention, which statistically actually had one of the best rush defenses coming in against Notre Dame, which was NC State. And I mentioned on the week before NC State that Notre Dame could tell them, you know, in advance, this is how we're going to run, and we're still going to be able to do it, and they did. But the point you make is the teams that you mentioned have the speed. They have the edge speed. They have the speed throughout the defense. And Notre Dame being able to, like, you know, telegraph, if you will, what their running thing is, that works against Temple. It works against BC. And surprisingly to a lot of people, it worked against USC and NC State. But these teams with this kind of speed, it's just a different type of element. And Notre Dame did not.
Georgia.
They didn't bring the creativity
Georgia
to adjust.
Georgia and Miami, they're different animals. Right, yeah.
And I think Michigan State really just played up. I don't know if I'm ready to put Michigan State in that bucket, but that's a conversation for another day. I think they played up. But Georgia and Miami, you have it pegged here, man. The speed that they have, and I'm not just talking about the whole cliche SEC. I'm talking about the edge speed. We're doing this long plotting. Josh Adams is waiting and calculating down the line of scrimmage. Dude, that was not happening tonight. It just wasn't there.
NC State gave up like 290 today on the ground, but I know what you're saying. But, you know, I thought Dexter Williams should have been in. I think he's a better running back than Adams.
Yep.
Adams is more north and south. But when that hole's not there, he can bounce. He can cut. But maybe he's still battling an injury. But I think Notre Dame, you know, I thought if they won today, I thought Stanford would beat him at the end just because I'm so used to Brian Kelly not winning and, you know, not finishing and – But
I love it.
I think
you're
if they,
dated,
they go to,
dated,
they go to
like a yeah. I love
like
it.
He's terrible. Like I would have if I was Swarbrick, I would have fired him right on the tarmac.
That wouldn't have made you Swarbrick.
Bowl game and get their heads kicked in.
Yeah, that wouldn't have made you Swarbrick. That would have just meant if you were the AD. That's what you mean to say because as we mentioned on this show, Swarbrick said that 2015 was like coaching sent from God. you know, something like that. But, you know, it's interesting you talk about it that way. This is Notre Dame, you know, showing that. And again, the point about Dexter Williams is an important one. I hate to use this terminology. I think it's more of an NFL thing, but I think it's kind of true with Josh Adams. When the system is working, the running system is working, Josh Adams is very formulaic. He will follow all the protocols. He will do everything very textbook. And when the hole is there, Josh Adams is guaranteed to be there in the hole as designed. What Josh Adams won't do is create anything really organically. He's not going to do anything that's dynamic on his own. That's what Dexter Williams is going to do. And I just thought it took way, way, way too long to see a number in the backfield other than 33. I hate to say that because of what Josh Adams has meant to this team. But did you agree that, like, were you just dying to see another running back at some point when it wasn't working for Adams?
Yeah, and I think all this 33 trucking, get in the Heisman, has really upped his carries. You know, they try to pad his stats a little bit. And they, you know, it wasn't that way the first five games. You know, they rotated and, you know, they bring in Jones and they throw passes to him out of the backfield. But, yeah, I think Williams has more upside. And I like Josh Adams. I mean, not to take anything away from him. I just think Williams is a better back.
Well, I think they're different.
I can't even say that Williams is the better back.
They are different.
But Williams is a great complement to what Josh Adams does. And in certain games, Georgia and this game particularly, if Adams isn't getting it done, you got to go to the other guy quick, man. I mean, dude, Dexter Williams has the speed that Miami defense has. He's the same level of speed that the defenders from Miami has.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have taken until the beginning of the fourth quarter to play that.
It's the same thing as putting Book in for Wimbush. Look, Wimbush has done so much to get Notre Dame where they are, but he's done so much with his legs. There was a point when you get down by 27, you got to put somebody in that's not going to freak out. You got to put somebody in, they can actually make a couple passes. And in my mind, you know, before a huge screw up, Ian Book is that guy. Like, he was much more calm in the pocket and he's making passes. So it's not the fact that it's better or worse. It's just different. And I think we've chalked up Dexter Williams this year as the X factor guy, the dynamic guy, you know, the cutter. And Adams is just the guy that can capitalize when the system is working. But if the system breaks down, you need somebody that's an escape artist.
And look, the offensive line did not have a great game
this
game. Hey, Tim, we're going to let you go, man. We appreciate your call. Hey, thank you very much for calling Indy Fan Radio. But I think to his point, I mean, the same thing. It's like the line didn't have a great game.
Was there a bigger letdown to you than the O-line in this game?
No.
That was the biggest letdown.
That was it. And really coupled with, like, the defensive line / linebackers. I mean, if we're being honest, everybody got torched. Everybody got
torched. The only spark
of
life I saw.
You tell me, who was the spark of light?
Listen, the only spark I saw was late in the third quarter. I felt like the defense finally came, but that's because Miami let off the gas.
I wrote down a note to myself. I said, who came ready to play today? Who are the people that – I think Tavon Coney. Tavon Coney was the only person that I saw – that I think came ready to play today. Otherwise, it's
Tyler Newsom. Dude came to play.
And Newsom is like a A-bomb or a shank. I mean, he's an A-bomb or shank guy.
Yeah.
And luckily, he had A-bombs on his on
Yoon came
today.
To play. Dude didn't even see the field.
All right. Listen, we got this is Indy Fan Radio on One Foot Down, the One Foot Down podcast, part of the SB Nation family of blogs. We appreciate everybody who's listening tonight. Please call in. The number is 714-409-0605. We got a handful of callers left on deck. We got about a half an hour to go, and we want to hear from you. That's what Indy Fan Radio is about. The next caller we're going to is area code 832.
832.
Let's go. You there?
Hey, what's going on? It's Tom from Houston.
Tom from Houston. How you living, my man?
Oh, man, Jack Daniels is not cutting it. I can tell you that right now.
Hey,
what's going on? But
are you a fan of the Astros?
Yeah, a little bit. Hey, but I take a lot of crap for being ND fans out here, even with all my flags outside. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But do we have to see any more and hear any more from ESPN about these damn chains that they got to wear? I just want to melt those damn things.
Turn of a chain.
Listen,
my daughter, I got an 11-year-old daughter. She's like, Dad, let's play the turnover chain song again. I'm like, no, let's not.
And I've
let's not do that. And then another thing that drove me nuts tonight was the field position. Like, they were just doing these chunk plays, and it was just like 10 yards here, 15 yards there. Like, it was just driving me crazy. I couldn't believe it.
Every time I looked at the screen, I watched the second half with my wife, and she was kind of falling asleep. We had gone to a party. She was pretty tired. She wakes up and she goes, "How does Miami still have the ball?" She's like, "They've had the ball for like 10 minutes. I don't know what time of possession was, but I feel like Miami had the ball the whole game, and they were inside the 50 going in, you know." And yeah, the turnovers were huge. Some of them were absolutely backbreaking. But you make a great point. The field position in this game did not do Notre Dame any favors. I mean, it made bad worse. Notre Dame was deep in their own territory many times. In Miami, two plays into a drive, was on the 30 going in. Here's what I felt like was happening, and you can tell me if you felt the same. This is what Notre Dame's opponents probably felt like this year, right? I mean, the big plays, the chunk plays, this has to be what ND opponents have felt like.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with you. And it's just, it was kind of surprising. I felt everything kind of shattered after like even the first quarter. And, you know, this whole thing with these turnovers and stuff, some of these turnovers, I had to make sure when the helmet came off, it wasn't Golson under there. You know, I was just like, what's going on here? You know,
and, we appreciate all Golson references, by the way.
And then Brian Kelly is talking about it's a work in progress, nine games. What did Kaiser do in his first nine games? I understand the different supporting cast, but come on. It's like, it's ridiculous. And then running back that hasn't been mentioned yet is, you know, who had a great game last game was Deion McIntosh. Where the hell was he?
You're not wrong.
You nailed it.
He could have bruised up that defensive line and made more room for the later backs, you know?
Yeah, not to mention his brother's on the D line, right? Like, you give it, at least the guy has an emotional draw why he might
All he did was rack up 7 yards of carry. I guess that sucks.
Right.
I don't know.
ESPN was nice enough to give him an honorable mention at the end of the game about him and his brother.
I mean, I tell you, like, look, we've talked about how Josh Adams has all this inertia behind him and people are pushing for the Heisman, but it's there's no shame in the fact that it's just not a particular guy's night. Notre Dame, even though Josh Adams has been one of the most amazing running backs that Notre Dame has seen statistically, and he has the long runs, those long runs are not cutting and breaking tackles. They are when schematically the blocking opens up the floodgates, and
they're a function of McGlinchey and Nelson.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but Notre Dame still kind of has a stable of running backs, and I just don't think it would have been that bad to see a couple of these other guys out there earlier for a spark. I mean, it's like the only reason Ian Book got on the field is because, you know, Wimbush really – he got benched. And I think that was the right decision, but some of these running backs – there's nothing wrong with spelling these guys. I mean, I'm not saying Notre Dame would have won the game, but I don't know if it was 41-8 if you saw some D-Mac out there, some Jones Jr., a little bit more.
I like the D-Mac. I like the name.
Did anybody else say D-Mac?
D-Mac?
I've been saying that.
Yeah, baby. All right, let's go.
It, so.
All right, back to Tom.
Sorry, man. We're deviating here, but.
It's okay, man. We're all feeling it together. I got to say, like, and my wife was scared to death of me today because normally I'm yelling and whatever. She's like, it's dead silent here. Are you alive?
Yeah. I really want everybody to tweet at Andy Fan Radio a picture of your wife, like, encased in bubble wrap, wrapped in pillows, hiding under a coffee table.
Hey, speaking to Andy
Fan
Radio,
afraid of your rage.
I'd love to wish a happy anniversary to my wife. This is our 12-year anniversary tomorrow. Today, now that it's after midnight.
That's magical. You were wed on a Notre Dame Navy victory, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Okay, so let's move forward. I mean, I hate to, like, do you think Notre Dame just wins out now? I mean, what do you think? What do you do with the rest of the season?
Personally, Tom, you go, but I believe they're on shaky ground.
So I I think with what's gone on, what I've seen in front of me, I think they'll win against Navy, but I think they're going to stumble against Stanford, especially if Love runs the way he does. And because the defensive line, the way I saw it today, how Miami was running the football, you know, I can't help but think that Love's going to run, you know, 150 to 175 on us, and maybe two or three touchdowns. Unfortunately,
it's so crazy to think, but I think that if Notre Dame plays the game they did tonight, I think both of the teams remaining could beat them. If Notre Dame plays the games that they've done already this season, I think they have no problem winning out the last two. But I tell you, if they show up like they did tonight, Stanford will beat them. There's no doubt about that.
I think they got more in them. Hopefully they will rebound.
They're not going to do
this
again.
But then again, you know what? I saw what they did against Wake Forest, and I said, hey, I think this is a blessing in disguise. I think Elko takes this Wake Forest game, and he turns it into some positive and remotivates the guys, and that sure as shit was
nothing
not, was
like that.
Not the scenario tonight.
Nothing like
All
that
right,
happened.
Let's try to get five more callers in here before the end of the show. This is Indy Fan Radio and One Foot Down, the One Foot Down podcast, part of the SB Nation family of blogs. I am Irish Tightness at Irish Tightness on Twitter. My brother, Indy McFly at Indy McFly. We love talking to you. This is Indy Fan Radio. This is what Indy Fan Radio is about. It's the fans. It's the calls. We love you. We want to keep doing it. Let's try to squeeze some more folks in here. You pick a number right here. You're looking at him. Go
740. Who's that?
740 area code. 740. Let's
740?
Go.
740.
Oh, hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
Up?
Who's it?
Ryan. Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Eastern Ohio.
Is, let's go.
This is like the worst I felt probably since the Clemson game. This is really bad. So
that's a fair statement. I think that's fair. Worse since Clemson. Okay.
I think the most funny part about tonight is that you look up the yardage that Miami gave up to North Carolina,
yard
to
point.
Georgia Tech, to Duke, and then we only mustered what, like, it was in the 200s, right? Did we break 200 yards tonight?
I think it was 260, and Miami had 370, I believe. My brother
North Carolina got almost 450 against them.
Right.
So that was disappointing.
Look, man, you make a great point. I mean, look, when we talked about Miami coming into this game, I understand they were 8-0. I understand they were ranked 7th in the country. I get it. However, if you looked at some of their games, to your point, they gave up a lot of yards. They won very, very close games. Here's the sad thing. This has to be far and away Miami's biggest margin of victory this year.
Yeah.
Against the number 3 team in the country.
A mile.
They're squeaking by North Carolina. You know, they're beating these other teams by 5, by 4. And then, now look, this game was a product of hype, and Miami fed, they put that hype directly into the vein. And Notre Dame did not.
Ryan,
for sure.
If I can chime in here and just ask a little bit more of a macro question just about Brian Kelly in general, because, you know, I feel like so much that bad that happened last year turned around this year. They're running the ball. They've got these great game plans. Everybody's feeling good. It's all hunky-dory. But this is a blowout. I mean, Notre Dame got
run. Bad.
They got run out of the gym. I mean, they got beat by 30-plus points. They got smoked. I mean, does that hit the reset button on everything you thought about the transition from 4-8 last year to 8-1 this year? I mean, how do you size that up?
It's, you know, they've done a lot of good this year. You can't discount that. I mean, we've beaten good teams, too. I mean, shit, USC is going to end up in the top 10 after this week. They're going to be a top 10 team.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, but shit, man, this sucks. I mean, this fucking sucks.
I mean,
like
is it fair to say that Notre Dame did not show up against Georgia, or they did? But like, I feel like
Georgia. This game was a pant shit. This was a bed shitting.
Oh.
They shit the bed, dog. Like,
there is shit all over the bed after this game. There is shit. There is shit all over the place after this game.
USC, don't you think that look, let's take a concept that we talked about earlier this year, games of consequence. I think, to be fair, when we chalk up games of consequence as they happened, Notre Dame has had three this year, as I see it. I think they've had Georgia, USC, and Miami. These are the three games that matter. I'm going to dismiss Michigan State currently, even though they're ranked at the time. I get it. I think the games of consequence.
Michigan State's trash.
Right. Well, look what happened today. I mean, that did us no favors.
Exactly.
Game of consequence, I think, at the time were Georgia, USC, and Miami. And the only one, you know, I hate to make my cousin right here, but Notre Dame did not look good against Georgia. And if Georgia had more of their offensive, you know, plan together, it could have maybe looked more like this game. Miami, obviously, we saw what happened. The only time Notre Dame was able to do it was against USC. That warms the heart of a lot of Notre Dame fans because it's such a big rivalry. But when we talk about games of consequence, I can hear cousin JJ, even though he's not here. Brian Kelly was 1-3 in games that mattered this year. I can hear him saying it. I mean, and he's not wrong,
he's
right?
He's not wrong. He's not that's wrong. The part that sucks.
No, that's worse than losing this game is that cousin JJ is not wrong. That's worse than this game.
That's very true. I mean, also if you look at BK's like his record in big games. I mean, man, it's not good.
Well, look, and,
it ain't good
and
at all.
Here's the thing. Cousin JJ broke that down for us painfully. He talked about his record in big games. But I'd like to go a little bit more just generic. As a fan, when you see game day, when you see 8 o'clock kickoff, when you see ABC, right, and you see all the stadium going crazy, I mean, as a Notre Dame fan, it makes your stomach drop. Right. Am I wrong there? Like, when you go to that Clemson game, all of a sudden you're like, this is not good. The Florida State game in 2014, they're not able to steal one on the road in this type of environment.
And you tell me.
Yeah, at this point, you're correct, yes.
Listen, you know, if for anybody that's unfamiliar, if you follow me on Twitter, at Irish Tightness, and you don't recognize the hashtag Death Bucket, just to give you a quick background, you know, the Alabama Death Bucket, I killed probably 50 chipmunks in a year by putting a 5-gallon pail out with some sunflower seeds in it and a landscape tube running up to it. And the whole point of the Death Bucket was these stupid ass chipmunks don't even realize that there's a bucket of water here. They see these sunflower seeds and they think there's food there. They're all happy. And they walk in and they dunk themselves and they drown. That was the chipmunk death bucket. That was the parallel that we drew with the Alabama death bucket. When Notre Dame played Alabama in the national championship, we called it the death bucket game because all these stupid Notre Dame fans walked into this game
we're
only giving them 12 points a game. We have some great chance against Alabama, and we walk up that tube just like these stupid-ass chipmunks walk up this tube, and we dunk ourselves in a 5-gallon bucket full of water, and we drown like morons because we're completely oblivious to what's going on. We are sheep. We are stupid, and we're oblivious. That was the Alabama death bucket, and I swear to God, watching this game was a death bucket game. We walked into this game thinking we had a chance, and we got dunked. Am I wrong?
No, sadly you're not. This was bad.
I think that here, I'm telling you, I'm thinking about the games where Notre Dame has gone on the road or neutral in a hostile environment. Alabama 2012, we know that. I'm thinking about Michigan, the Michigan game with all the pom-poms, like all these environments where Notre Dame goes on the road. And look, I'm not saying it's the easiest thing in the world is to go on the road with a ranked opponent that's undefeated. I mean, let's be honest here. Miami's a good team. But I'm not. The fact is, why does Notre Dame look like they don't even want to be playing football? Like, I don't understand it. I'm so sick of watching opposing teams. I have this nightmare of Dabo Sweeney dancing and jumping. Yeah, okay, Brian Kelly did one dance after we beat Temple. Good on you. I appreciate it. Dabo Sweeney, these guys are jumping, bumping each other. They're going crazy. The chain, the crowd, all of it. Notre Dame cannot get to that level. They absolutely cannot do it.
Oh.
Notre Dame likes to play football. casually at 3:30 in the afternoon in South Bend, Indiana. That's how they want to play. They don't get up at night. They don't get hype. They don't have swag. You know, and whatever you want to, you know, however you want to justify that with what the team is supposed to be and the image and the brand, for, you know, whatever. But the emotional disparity between these two teams, even before it was way out of hand, when it was 0-0, the emotional disparity was so noticeable, and I'm so sick of watching that. Forget coaching, forget execution. I'm just sick of watching the other team look excited to play football, and Notre Dame looks like they're in algebra.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, only we've only had one big road win probably during the Brian Kelly era against Oklahoma in 12.
Yep.
I mean, and that was it. I mean, that's it. Like
yeah.
Road wins, big road wins.
It almost makes me want to go back.
I mean, Michigan State, but Michigan State is Michigan State. They're not, you know, an upper echelon team ever in my mind. So, it's just frustrating. Like, tonight was so frustrating.
Well, look, there's no silver bullet tonight. There's no better way to say it than what you just said. It's frustrating, and it was tonight. Those two things are true.
Yeah.
It was tonight. It was frustrating. Thank you for the call, dude. We totally appreciate you guys listening out there and calling in. It's super late. Anybody that's on Eastern time, man. It's
almost 1:30. This is Indy Fan Radio. We don't give a fuck. We're doing it, man. We're doing it because we love Notre Dame and we love radio. Indy Fan Radio on One Foot Down, the One Foot Down podcast. Thank you for everybody who's been listening live. This is a rare treat for you. We don't do live shows very often. It's been 2 years since we've gone live, but we're here tonight on the Miami weekend.
We don't do it live because you can't handle the swings.
The
like
number
rounders.
Is 714-409-0605, 714-409-0605. Got a couple callers queued up still. We want to talk to you. Handful of minutes left. Let's get after it. McFly, pick a number.
469.
Area code 469.
469.
Let's
ready?
Get after it. Let's go. ND Fan Radio. Holla.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, it's Henry Lang from Dallas, Texas. And
what's up,
I am Henry?
100%, how you doing, dude?
I am 100% disappointed, as always, on a big Saturday night when we're on NBC.
Yeah.
We've gone 1-4 in College Game Day, like hosted games, since our championship run in 12, which, you know, how that ended. Moving forward.
Wait. We've been on Game Day 4 times since 2012. Is that true?
Florida State, Clemson. Oh, the only one we won was Temple. You know, that one that was just, they had nothing else to show. So,
there ain't shit else going on.
Yeah, is that Philadelphia?
Might as well.
Okay. I don't remember that one, but yeah, okay. Was it
Halloween night 2015.
Okay. Sorry,
didn't mean to.
Okay, so you're 100% disappointed. So is this – look, we only have a few minutes left, so I got to kind of force you into the pressure cooker here. I hate to do this, but, like, if you
– No worries.
If you have the big button in front of you, man, is this like, change time? Or you're like, look, Notre Dame really improved from last year. Everybody calm down. Are you, like, walk back from the ledge? Or are you, like
– Wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
Is it time to change some people in the administration here? Or what do you think about this thing?
I mean, I'd love to see a change. We keep going through new coordinators and stuff. The only constant in every embarrassing win – or every embarrassing loss that we've had is Brian Kelly. It just seems like he's watching our highlights all week instead of the other team's film. And, you know, beating Syracuse 80% of the time, that's not Notre Dame football. So I'd love to see a change because, you know, 10-2 is great and it looks good compared to 4-8. When you're getting blown out when every person in the country is watching, that's pretty bad, and that seems to keep happening.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say blown out. We talked a little bit on this show, and I'd like to squeak in my obligatory Charlie Weiss reference. One of the things that was the undoing of Charlie Weiss was he was getting blown out by really good teams. And to be fair to Brian Kelly, maybe not even fair, but to be accurate, he really doesn't get blown out by better teams.
Listen, just like I said, this was a death bucket game. Alabama was a death bucket game. You walked into the Alabama game thinking everything was hunky-dory. You walked down the landscape pipe, and you dunked yourself into a five-gallon bucket of water, and you drowned like a moron who had no clue what the hell was going on. And that's exactly what happened tonight.
And
death bucket.
I think it's fair to say with the number three playoff ranking, which was 2 weeks old, right? So it was getting a little bit stale. Notre Dame was ranked number three in the playoff ranking. I know it's kind of a new thing, but you know, going back to the caller here, is it fair to say that Alabama and this were Brian Kelly's two biggest games in his Notre Dame career?
They were his death bucket games.
I get it. It's death bucket.
Yeah.
Was this the most important game other than Alabama?
Yes, I would say yes, because of the time between the two games and the seasons and all the sadness that's happened in between. This is kind of like, all right, if you get 7 years, you have less than a 70% winning percentage, and every time we're on game day, big games, we're losing. So I feel like his time for big games are just kind of running out, and this was the last straw.
Yeah, okay, so if you have the decision, this is your parting shot. Would you fire Brian Kelly, or would you not schedule big games?
Oh,
that's
fire
a joke.
Brian Kelly. Notre Dame is meant for big games. We're not meant for losing at Arizona State and just all these embarrassing losses.
I was just kidding. However, this show would not be completed. Somebody had actually said fire Brian Kelly. I think that had to happen at some point. So thank you very much, man. From Texas, representing tonight, dude. This Lone Star State.
Was it Dallas or Houston?
That was Dallas, and before was Houston.
Right.
So Texas all over.
I got mad love for Texas.
Yeah, that's great, man. We appreciate it. Thanks again.
Last one of the night.
Let's
try to squeeze one
it?
In. Area code
740. All right.
740. Indy Fan Radio. What's going on?
Bring it home. Garbage time. You're in. You're in at QB. What do you want to run?
Oh, he dropped.
Oh my
Collins
gosh.
Dropped. Oh,
he Christed. He dang Christed.
We put Deion McIntosh in, and he choked the ball. He coughed it up. All right, what is this?
848.
Okay. One more. Area code 848. You're going to bring us home. Indy Fan Radio on 1 Foot Down. Let's go. You there?
Jesus Christ, guys. I'm here. I got the last one.
Like, don't give me a JC blast. Come on. Say something else. Drop an F-bomb. Don't give me the JC blast.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they may come. Well, I mean, I have, like, notes here that I was going to, like, kind of touch upon. But at this point, I'm just, like, depressed and sad. And the more I listened, I just want to shoot myself. But – I got a funny story because a lot of people brought up wives real quick, but ultimately I'm more of a, like the players dictate the outcome of a game. Like coaches look good when players, catch balls and throw accurate passes and make blocks, and then they're geniuses, and then they look excited, and then they're all pumped up. And when they miss those blocks and throws and catches, then they look down, they're not fired up, and the coaches are stupid. But there's been something about Brian Kelly since South Florida of his first year, that it's just like a kid in school who like has a learning disability and can't like pronounce vowels or something. Like there's just something missing. There's just some piece of the puzzle in his coaching is just missing, where there are these blank spots of stupidity that continue to happen. The problem is, no matter who's the coach in Notre Dame, you can be Joseph Stalin, I want to root for him, and I always hope for the best. And this game hurts so much because I was watching with my 9-year-old, my 7-year-old, and my 5-year-old, and they're just starting to understand because dad's crazy about Notre Dame. It is such a rare opportunity to be in this position. We are Notre Dame fans. It does not happen often, right? So no matter what, how we got there or the teams we played or the strengths of schedules of this, that, and the other, we're in this position that is really hard to be in. And to go on the road and to play poorly from the get, was just heartbreaking. I fucking hate the goddamn the U's turnover chain and their whole mystique, and the whole thing just made me want to vomit in my mouth. It was practically a Miami commercial. I saw a dickhead from high school in the stands fucking cheering Miami on, which made it even worse. But before the game, and I'll just end my rant.
Ending on this call.
I know. We should have had him earlier. First of all, listen, anybody out there that had their children watching this game, you know, CPS.
This guy ripped off.
Oh, no, you got to listen to this. You got to listen because this gets good, right?
Obviously, you're Catholic if you rip off a 12, a 9, a 8, a 6, a 4-year-old.
Right.
I mean,
and I made him watch another
Yeah.
11 o'clock.
Yeah, it's funny like that. So I'm like, I've been nervous about this game because nobody, even in the beginning of the season, everyone was overlooking Miami, like chalking that in, even when talking about like best teams to play. And immediately that gave me a bad feeling in my stomach. I was more nervous about this game than I was about USC, and I was real nervous about USC. I just had a bad feeling about it because everyone was assuming and picking Notre Dame. And they everything going for them in Miami. The big win, the hype, and the da-da-da-da. And, you know, their fans are going to show up when they're winning. So I knew that place was going to be crazy. So I'm like, super-duper intense for the game. I'm waiting all goddamn day. I'm going – sorry for the goddamn. I'm going like kind of antsy in my pants. I got the kids are going to stay up late. I'm feeding them ice cream. And me and my wife, and I love my wife, love her to death, but we get in this huge fight over some bullshit, something about folding laundry or something, right? So now it's like 7:30, and we're in some huge fight. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm in a bad mental state. The vibes are awful. We've been doing well all day, and now I'm in a shitty state. We're going, I can't even breathe. We're like in this awful fight. And then, right? At like 7:55, she gets this god-awful nosebleed. So it's 7:55. My wife's got her head in the sink, blood oozing out of her face and her mouth. She, like, can't breathe. And she's like, I think we need to call the ambulance. I'm like, there's no fucking way we're calling the ambulance. I'm not calling the ambulance. So I'm, like, feeding her paper towels. And I'm like, why don't you try some ice on your face? And this kind of diffused the fight, at least. But now – I'm like, it's like 8 o'clock. I'm like, what do I do now? I'm like walking from the bathroom to the living room trying to watch the beginning of the game. My head's all out of whack, and then they get shellacked. And it was just the shittiest evening of all time. I mean, for me,
your wife's nosebleed was a premonition above what was to come. Notre Dame was just going to be bleeding out, and there's nothing you can do but stand over the sink and go get more paper towels. There's nothing.
Yeah,
look,
what I said to my when she's like, I can't make it stop bleeding. I'm like, oh, we're fucked.
Of course you can't. Listen, and all these do-gooders are going to be like, tilt your head back, pinch your nose, and it's going to keep bleeding and there's nothing you can do about
Mandy Diaz is sending linebackers coming hot at Wimbush.
Just stay
we're
over
fucked.
The sink.
We're fucked.
Stay over the sink. Oh, man, I wish we had you on earlier. What a phenomenal call. Look,
oh, yeah, it's all
name?
Good.
Hey, what's your name, man? Are you on Twitter at all?
Nolan. Yeah, Nolan from New Jersey, lifelong Notre Dame fan. I'm gonna go emotionally shut down and not look at ESPN for a year. By the way, I'm also a Giants fan, so you know, fuck me right in the ass.
That means nothing to my brother. He watches no NFL at all, but I can tell you that what you just said is like, okay, the nosebleed actually happened because somebody punched me in the face. That's what you just said, being a Giants fan. Listen, I'm a Niners fan, okay? I'm a Niners fan, so there's nothing for me tomorrow either, all right? I know where you're coming from. But look, I think that you just summed it up. Little did you know you had a premonition of what was going
to
happen.
What a fantastic call to end the show.
Yeah.
Punched in the face, your nose is bleeding all freaking game, and you're like, what the hell is this?
And
I just came here for a good time, and here I am getting rocking the grill.
Listen, man, I put my kids to bed at halftime. Like I said, we were at a party. We came home, and my sweet, sweet daughter said, Daddy, will you tell me who wins tomorrow when I wake up? And I said, I'll tell you who's going to win right now, sweetheart.
It ain't
Notre Dame.
That's it.
And that's one of the first times I called it at halftime. There was no way they were coming back. And
blood in the streets, blood on the nose.
Blood in the sink.
Blood in the sink.
Thanks, Nolan.
Blood on the paper
it.
Towel. Nolan from Jersey summed it up perfectly. This is Indy Fan Radio on One Foot Down, the One Foot Down podcast. We appreciate every single one of you. We haven't done a live show in so long. We had some technical hiccups. It took a while to get this thing rolling. We were struggling. I mean,
I think we did better than Notre Dame, though.
Just
I think,
like,
to be
just
fair.
Like ND, we were struggling at the beginning of this thing. We had no clue.
I don't know if we won,
how
but
to get
we
thing
showed
fired
up.
And we were hurting, man. But we got it righted. Unlike the Irish, we got this thing righted here. Everybody that called in, everybody that listened, we're going to post this thing tomorrow. Anybody that checks this thing out on SoundCloud, we thank you all. We love Notre Dame. We want nothing more than Notre Dame to be awesome. They're not awesome right now. We thought they were going so, it was going so well. And then
that
you
was
get
not awesome.
And
Rick.
Then you get, next thing you know, you're sitting in the kitchen and you got blood pouring out of your face and you have no clue how to stop it.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at, man. Indy Fan Radio and One Foot Down, the One Foot Down podcast. Appreciate everybody listening. Y'all have a good night.
Night all.
Thank you.